Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Casey Luskin, broadcasting with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Paul Nelson, an adjunct professor in the Masters of Arts program in Science and Religion at Biola University and a fellow of Discovery Institute. He's a philosopher of biology with a PhD from the University of Chicago, and he's also a very well-known proponent of intelligent design, been involved with the ID movement for many years, and he's contributed many articles and book contributions to the ID literature over the years. So Dr. Nelson, thanks for coming on the show with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Today we're going to talk about the passing of a very well-known evolutionary scientist named Will Provine, who passed away in early September 2015. And Dr. Nelson, you wrote a wonderful remembrance of Will Provine on the website Evolution News and Views. Will Provine, of course, was a historian of science and an evolutionary biologist at Cornell University, and he had some very interesting interactions over the years with leading ID theorists like Philip Johnson. Many ID the Future listeners may have seen the debate between Philip Johnson and Will Provine, and I think Will Provine was well respected in the ID movement because of his willingness to interact with folks of a differing viewpoint. And Dr. Nelson, you had, again, a wonderful remembrance of Will Provine on the website Evolution News and Views. So I was wondering if you could first share with our listeners a little bit about who Will Provine was and why you wanted to write that remembrance of him for our readers of Evolution News and Views.
Provine was a historian of biology at Cornell University who specialized in the history of 20th century evolutionary theory. So as an undergraduate, I read his classic work, The Origins of Theoretical Population Genetics, which deals with the mathematical and theoretical foundations of what is now textbook evolutionary theory. And then, as a graduate student, I met him in person in the late 1980s at the Field Museum in Chicago, where he was a regular speaker at an event held every year called the Spring Systematics Symposium. And we struck up a friendship, and he was remarkable in many respects. First of all, he was one of the most blunt people I've ever met. He would speak his mind in ways that often, I think, shocked the audience. So I'll give you an example. I think it was in spring of 1988, he gave a talk at the Field Museum where he said, "You don't need to know anything about evolutionary theory to be a first-rate biologist." And you could hear hundreds of people just groaning, like, "Oh, what is he saying?" But that was Will's viewpoint. And he would sometimes say things, I think, deliberately to provoke the audience, to get them to think in a way, sort of like shock treatment. You know, I'm going to put out this proposition and to shock you. And then because you're shocked, I'll wake you up out of your slumbers and you will have to think about what I'm saying. Will also was able to change his mind quite dramatically. Let me give you one example of that. In 1990, Phil Johnson published an essay in the magazine First Things arguing that evolutionary theory in our culture was supported not really by its explanatory power or the available evidence, but rather at a deeper level by the philosophy of naturalism. And a thesis that's become very well known that Phil then developed in the book Darwin on Trial. The journal, First Things, asked for responses from a number of people. Provine was one of them. And in that response, Provine totally rejected Phil's thesis at that point, said, "Phil has failed to understand that natural selection, the process of natural selection, explains the apparent design of living things." And you can find this online. You just need to Google "evolution is dogma," Phil Johnson, Will Provine. That will bring up the essays at First Things. And I'll just quote from what Provine said at that time. This is 1990. "Natural selection is a far better explanation for adaptations than purposive forces." And he appeals to the power of natural selection to explain what prior to Darwin was viewed as evidence for an intelligent design or for a divine intellect. Okay, fast forward 10 years, roughly. The University of Chicago Press reissues Provine's history on the origins of theoretical population genetics. And in that reissue, the republication of that book, Provine adds a new afterword. And in that afterword, he totally shifts his ground on natural selection. I'll just quote to you briefly. from, this is now published in 2001, so it's a little over a decade later. He says, having natural selection select is nifty because it excuses the necessity of talking about the actual causation of natural selection. Such talk is excusable for Charles Darwin, but inexcusable for evolutionists now. Creationists have discovered our empty natural selection language, and the actions of natural selection make huge vulnerable targets. So in the space of a decade, Provine completely shifted his position on whether natural selection was an adequate explanation for biological design. And not only did he shift his position, he told the world about that in blunt, clear language. So that's one of the things I admired about Will, was his candor, his willingness to change his mind in the light of new developments, and then to tell people about that. Many people can change their mind, but they're bashful about admitting it, because often they have to admit they were mistaken. But that's not the only thing about Will that I found admirable. He had the remarkable ability to disagree with people. This happened in my case. Strongly disagree. Tell people, here's why you're wrong. Here's why I think you were wrong. And yet leave no permanent scars. Leave no wounds. Disagree with the content of someone's view, and yet you felt his affection for you as a person through it all. And that to me is amazing, because it's actually a rather rare quality. And especially in this debate, undirected evolution versus intelligent design, because it goes so deep and so much rides on it, it's often hard for people, on whatever side of the question, whether pro-design or anti-design, to disagree with someone in a way that doesn't leave wounds. We all want to be right, and the impulse to attack people personally, it's hard to resist. I think it's a very human impulse. It's a wrong impulse, but it's there. And yet Will was able to say, I disagree with you, Paul, but do you want to go have dinner? You know, how's your family? How is your writing going? In other words, he was able to show deep affection for his opponents in a way that I found refreshing and remarkable and quite rare, to be honest.
Yeah, refreshing, Dr. Nelson, is the exact word that I was thinking as you were talking about this, because it's so rare that we see evolutionary scientists who are willing to, A, admit when they have maybe made a mistake about their evolutionary views, and also to positively interact with critics. And again, as you said, it's not like Will Provine agreed with intelligent design or disputed that material evolutionary mechanisms could carry the day, but at the very least, he was open-minded and willing to challenge his own thinking and have positive interactions with those who he agreed with, and to do that in a way where he wasn't attacking the people and just, you know, discussing his disagreements with their arguments. And that's very refreshing. I think it would be great to see that a lot more often from our critics. They're willing to talk to us and disagree with us. That's fine. But to do it in a way where they're not trying to tear down people constantly. I'd like to add something here, Dr. Nelson, about what you said, Will Provine's willingness to change his mind and even challenge standard evolutionary views. In 2008, he gave a talk before the History of Science Society where he said that every assertion of the evolutionary synthesis below is false. Those were his words. Every assertion of the evolutionary synthesis below is false. And here's what he said. Number one, natural selection was the primary mechanism at every level of the evolutionary process. Natural selection caused genetic adaptation. He went on to say, and again, these are elements of the evolutionary synthesis which he said is false. Evolution of phenotypic characters such as eyes and ears, etc., was a good guide to protein evolution, or protein evolution was expected to mimic phenotypic evolution. Another one, protein evolution was a good guide to DNA sequence evolution. Or another one, recombination was far more important than mutation in evolution. Or here's another one he said was false. Macroevolution was a simple extension of microevolution. or as he said, that the definition of species was clear. He even said it was false to believe that, quote, speciation was understood in principle. He also said it's false to believe that evolution is a process of sharing common ancestors back to the origin of life, or in other words, that evolution produces a tree of life, or that inheritance of acquired characteristics was impossible in biological organisms, or that random genetic drift was a clear concept and invoked constantly wherever population sizes were small, including fossil organisms. And then finally, he said it was false to believe that, quote, the evolutionary synthesis was actually a synthesis. I mean, what courage would it take for an evolutionary biologist in good standing like Will Provine to stand up before the History of Science Society and say that each of those elements of the standard neo-Darwinian synthesis were false, especially after he himself had advocated many of those views previously in his own career? I mean, what a courageous man of integrity to stand up and say that those things were false.
I couldn't agree more, and I think that right across every aspect of this debate, being willing to challenge one's colleagues or to admit that one has made a mistake, it's a very human feeling to lack the courage to do that. And I would say on the intelligent design side, there are examples of people who have changed their mind but not told anyone and so forth. And what I found admirable about Will was he seemed to be able to summon up the courage to speak honestly about his own convictions and opinions to his colleagues, whatever the consequences, to engage in dialogue with people like Phil Johnson or myself when his colleagues would tell him, don't interact with those people. You've got nothing to gain from a polite discussion with them about these issues. And Will did as he saw fit. And I take that as admirable and something that we could emulate, whatever our views.
Absolutely. It's great to see the high-level interactions between people like Will Provine and Phil Johnson and how they were able to keep a friendly relationship despite their disagreements. I think that these days the debate has become so politicized, and I have to say it has a lot to do with the persecution of ID proponents by the leading Darwin lobbyists, that unfortunately that's chilled a lot of the positive discussions that could be happening. So here's to more folks like Will Provine on the other side, willing to courageously break that ice, break through that firewall of intolerance, and have these conversations. I think that many folks on the ID camp, you and I'm sure, are some of those folks, are more than willing to have these interactions if other folks are willing to have them as well. So, Dr. Nelson, thank you so much for sharing this wonderful remembrance of Will Provine and reflecting upon the man that he was. We appreciate this very much.
Thanks for having me on anytime.
Well, I'm Casey Luskin with ID the Future. Stay tuned for more. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.